Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we just come before you, mindful of your awesomeness, mindful of your grandeur, mindful of your presence in all the universe. And we're just a little speck of dirt here on planet Earth. And yet each one of us is so special to you and created in your image. And oh, we thank you for life. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for light and life, and we pray for those who are in darkness and death. So guide us this morning as we continue through the book of Proverbs, and as we see the issues of temptation, we see the issues of lust, we see some very clear steps in the time of resistance, the time to resist temptation, and the steps that that goes through. And if we don't get out, but we stay in that, we will eventually fall from all resistance and plunge headlong into sin. And we know that sin occurs when the opportunity and the attitude of the heart cross, and the heart is even considering that or open to it, and the opportunity comes, and then sin results. Help us this morning, Lord, to glean again from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 7, this is the third of the chapters on adultery, and this will be the last chapter, at least the full chapter on adultery. We'll come into the immoral woman again in chapter 14 and chapter 20, and then, of course, we close out the book with 31 with a very definite statement that the woman in 31 is not immoral, but she's perfect. I mean, she's really walking the way she should walk. So as we get into this today, think in terms of Potiphar's wife and Joseph and that situation. Think in terms of Hosea, the book of Hosea, all about spiritual adultery. And think about this character in Judges came to me, Ehud, I think his name is. He plunged the sword into fat King Eglon, and what happened? The dirt came out. The sword goes in and the dirt comes out. So we're going to be talking about the sword this morning. We're going to talk about the word of God, paramount here in resisting temptation. These familiar passages can be so familiar we don't even consider them. Just kind of brushing them off is always a problem. Thinking, well, I know that. I know that. I've known that for years. Well, every time we read it, we find out there's some applications for today. There's some applications for us right now. And last time we finished with the verses there in chapter 6, for jealousy is a husband's fury. We were talking there about one of the dangers of committing adultery. You're not only having a problem on a twofold level, you're having a problem on at least threefold level, the spouse of the one you're having adultery with and more. And then you might add, going into chapter 7, there's no chapter break in the original. In light of this, in light of these problems that adultery brings, now what, in a way? So this continues on, and verse 1 says, my son, keep, or think of observe in that word, observe, not just keep, but observe it, my words. So in light of this, what? Look to the word, keep my words, be obedient to my word, and treasure my commands, store up, in other words, treasure my commands within you. And then the word keep, again, which really means to observe. Keep my commands and live. And I think you can add an eternal component to that word live there, because we're really talking about living forever. Jesus said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And this is, what road are you on? Are you on the road to eternal life? Or are you on the road to eternal death? Keep my commands and live. And my law. As what? Think of the law. Somebody mentioned Psalm 1 earlier this morning, but when David says, I meditate on it every day and night, what is the law? Well, this is part of the law we're reading right here, and that is how we are to live. And we read here, my law as what? The apple of your eye. Now think of that. Think of your eye. I think the apple can be identified as a pupil, or at least comparison here is that, and think about the pupil for a minute. It lets in light, right? We want to let in the light, but we want to screen out the darkness, right? And what happens to the pupil when you get dirt in your eye? Doesn't go very well, does it? So think of the law here as the apple of your eye. Keep it open to the light. Keep the dirt out of it, if you will. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. So there's that couplet again, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding. Solomon had a lot of wisdom, but he didn't have much understanding spiritually of what the women could do to him. So it's still ironical to me as we go through particularly the adultery section in Proverbs, and we see Solomon giving us advice. Isn't that something? But it's really the Spirit. It's not Solomon the man. It's the Spirit speaking through him, and then therefore it is pure and it's good. It's not his own practice of 700 wives and all of that stuff. But he is writing to his children here, to his son, he says here. But notice this couplet. Say to wisdom and understanding, is wisdom your sister? Is she as close as your sister? Is understanding your nearest kin? Verse 5, that what? That they, these two things, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. So this is a big deal. This is why we're talking about the word here, to keep you out of temptation, to keep you or to deliver you out of temptation, and to keep you from immorality, to keep you from the lust, from obeying the lust that's in all of us, that they may keep you from the immoral woman. Your immoral woman, many times in the book of Proverbs. Now, we'll only get her twice more after this, so it kind of evens out a little bit. But that's the figure here that we go back to, certainly for the third week in a row, because we've been there in chapters 5 and 6, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress. Now, notice that. She's not just bad, but she's alluring. And that's what sin is, isn't it? It's alluring. It's not just bad in of itself, but it's drawing you into it, drawing you into it. That they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress, who what? Flatters with her words. Just think how flattery causes us to respond in an unholy way. It really does. We have that problem. So what does the seducer use? Flattery. We can even be flattered by a study such as this. Well, this doesn't affect me because I don't have any trouble with the prostitutes or whatever. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. You have problems with temptation of some kind because nobody's free from that, right? So how do you handle that? So as we go through the example here of the crafty harlot, just think about applying this, if that isn't fit you, applying it to temptations in your life. And just notice how we get our heart worked up to the point, if it's already not, of being open to that. And then when the opportunity comes, then we start to move through that. Now, we still will resist it. We'll resist it. But if you don't respond to the first resistance, you're already gone through one red light. And then you'll have two or three more, maybe. And then you're in. You're dead. Now you committed the temptation. You brought it to fruit. So the crafty harlot. Because what? Because at the window of my house I looked through my lattice and saw the simple. I perceived among the youths a man, young man, devoid of understanding. Now, I think this has a sovereign component to it. I think it also has the aspect of Solomon having seen this, or the Spirit writing through him. He sees a young man devoid. Now, what's devoid mean? Well, it means he has not been instructed or taught. So one of the things we get out of a study such as this is a question, how well are you passing this on to your children, to your grandchildren, or to anyone else? They grow up innocent, but they have to be instructed and taught what all is out there. I don't mean they have to be taught the gory details, but they have to be taught about you're going to get put in positions where you will be flattered. You're going to get in positions where it looks so good, and you know in heart it's wrong. but you get attracted to this. So we have this now devoid of understanding. So he is not a wicked boy. He's kind of, think of him as a farm boy from Missouri or Iowa maybe. I don't know what the illustration is in Africa, but he has been sheltered in his life. Probably he's been homeschooled, maybe. I don't mean knock homeschooled, but you know, he hasn't been exposed to any real world, right? Much, I think. He's devoid of understanding at any rate, passing along the street near her corner. Now, he's really not in the right place, probably, although he may not know, he's on the wrong street. So you may get tempted not even being in the wrong place, but if you're in the wrong place, it's even worse, right? But he passes by the corner and took the path to her house. Oh, wow, now this starts to go down that road to temptation, leaving the main street and going down to this road to her house. Now notice the progression here. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black, and dark night. Down, 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 down. So think of that. Think of that. Think of that. But first of all, twilight, you better be careful. You better turn around. You can still kind of see where you're going. But now it gets darker and you can see less. And pretty soon it's very dark. And if you couldn't recognize the evil in the light, you're not going to recognize it in the dark. So you're already getting deeper and deeper into this situation. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. I wrote down in my margin, dressed to kill. And that means more than just the term. She's dressed to kill.
Dressed to kill.
I was thinking about a couple of places that I've been. Havana, Cuba was, I think, one of the worst. Phnom Penh, Cambodia was another. Where at very early ages, teenagers, 10, 12, they're openly soliciting sex. And when we got landed in Havana one time and the pastor to pick us up was running a little bit late, he says, go to this restaurant nearby and wait there. So we went and had a little food there. And we were sitting near a window in the restaurant, and these must have been 12-year-old girls. They were just young girls. Stick their head in the right into the restaurant, and all made up with their eyes and all of this. And I mean, it just makes you sad, really. But the young boy, devoid of understanding, would say, wow, look at that. And here they're all over you, you know, and you leave the place and they're all over you. And I mean, it doesn't have any attraction to us, but it's just so sad to see that. But this came to mind when I thought about this attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Notice that, crafty heart. The evil one, the wicked one, is crafty. Remember, it's probably more than you see at work there. You may pick up part of it, but there's a craftiness there. She was loud and rebellious, uninhibited, in other words, and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking. Think of ambush there. She's lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. Wow. Now the kiss really starts the ball rolling here. She kissed him. Oh, with an impudent faith. She said to him, now notice, God talk now. She gets into God talk. I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So notice she's setting this whole thing up. What happens with a peace offering? After the peace offering, you take some of the meat home with you, don't you? So she's telling him, not only come in, but I'm inviting you in to have a dinner. Meat, come in. And I'm godly. I got it from a peace offering. So notice the subtlety of the temptation here. It's all wrapped up in a nice pretty ribbon here, and it doesn't sound too bad. This is a godly woman. She's been to making her vows in a peace offering. And man, I get to have meat. I'm really hungry. This is another door opening, right? So I came out to meet you. Now flattery. I came out to meet you to diligently seek your face. I have spread my bed with tapestry. So now the painting picture goes on of just such an alluring, attractive nests all the way around. Colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed. Man, I can, oh man, that sounds really good. Myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Oh, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Now, you might say, well, he'll never go for that. Well, there are times you'll go for temptation. When's the last time you yielded to temptation? Probably today, yesterday, right? Not in the same way, but just notice this pattern here as he's going deeper and deeper into this. And now, well, yeah, but we might get caught if we do something like it. Kind of looks like this is a door is open. My husband is not at home. Oh, he's gone on a long journey. So got that base covered, right? He's taken a bag of money with him. And when he takes a big bag of money with him, I know he's going to be gone a long time. And then she says he will come home at the appointed day. And literally, that means it's the full moon. So there's going to be some time. He could be away as much as a month. Depends on where the moon was. He will come home on the appointed day. And then verse 21, with her enticing speech. Oh, my. When's the last time you encountered enticing speech of the wicked one? She caused him. She caused him. Notice this. She caused him to what? Yield. All right. Now what's happening? The resistance is over. He has not resisted, and he yields. Now he's gone. He's into sin. No more resistance. With her flattering lips, again, flattery, with her flattering lips, she seduced him. So you might underline that, because the flattery, we all have a weakness for flattery. Yes. With her flattering lips, she seduced him immediately. Woo! Immediately. He went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till what? Till an arrow struck his liver, fatal. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Now, before you say, well, I would never get into that. We might not get into this particular picture, but you can yield to temptation to things that are ungodly. And if you stay on that track, it'll eventually end up costing your life, right? Now we have a great warning. Last four verses. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Oh, my. Think of Psalm 1 again. We're not to walk with the ungodly. We're not to stand with them. Progression. Last, we're not to sit with them. Call it scornful in most, in some translations there. But do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Wow. For she has cast down many wounded, and all, a vast number, in other words, and all who were slain by her were strong men. So it's not, you might think, well, I'm strong, I'd never fall for that. Well, all these others that have fallen for it were also strong. I think of Adam and Eve. How strong were they? There wasn't anybody ever created stronger than they. But they fell. They fell. So if Eve can succumb to Satan, how likely is it that he can overpower me? Apart from the Lord, it's not hard for him at all. With the Lord, it's a different story. All who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell. Any questions on that verse? Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of her death. So here ends the three chapters on adultery. But isn't that vivid description here for temptation and how we had time at the beginning of that temptation to cut it off, to turn from there, get out of there, as Joseph would do with Potiphar's wife. He ran. She had the garment. He ran away from his garment. He ran. Really a good example there, isn't it? Really a good example. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear teaching. And Lord, help us now as we kind of digest this whole chapter here a bit and can relate it to so many situations in our lives, maybe not exactly the same type of temptation, but temptations and the yielding, the failing to resist, maybe dabbling a little bit and just letting it kind of sit in our mind and mature in our hearts or whatever, knowing that it's wrong and that we don't decisively take it to you and get it out of there and take care of it. So Lord, help us now as we have a few moments to pray. And by your Spirit, we know that you will lead us in the areas we should bring to prayer. And Lord, we keep coming back in the scriptures over and over again to the simple choice of, are you choosing life and light? Are you choosing death and darkness? And I can't think of any greater reason to pray than to pray for the people in darkness. Those are the prayers, really, with eternal consequences. So we have much to pray for, not just for unbelievers, but whatever you would lead us to pray. We know that if we are following your lead, all of these prayers will be in perfect harmony with each other. Thank you for this opportunity. Lead us now. Father, I want to thank you for the blessings of the election. As already mentioned, I want to thank you that for maybe the first time for a while, or at least I can't remember, we have a parent leader in the House and in the Senate who are both Christians. Lord, what a blessing that is. We have prayed for godly leaders, and you have blessed us with some of that. And Lord, help us, help them to know that unless you're in it, nothing is going to change. Yes. The problem is not necessarily Washington. The problem is we've turned our back on you. The problem is not anti-Semitism as much as anti-God. Yeah. And so as long as we have our backs to you, man's efforts are not going to be accomplishing much. But you did hear our prayers, I believe, in that election. I know you hear our prayers, but I also know that your purposes are going to be done. And if we don't pray it right, forgive us. We do want to be praying in accordance as you would lead us, Holy Spirit. We know that's the right way. And so I thank you for these short periods of time each week where we can gather together in this little family and lift these things up. And maybe that's just a small amount of what we will go through the rest of this day and each day. And Lord has mentioned about fear, and I understand that, but I also understand that we've had that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in today's chapter, we have very little in there about the fear. Wasn't it that there wasn't enough fear in that young man's life? He didn't fear it enough. But Lord, whether you use fear for good or for bad, we thank you that you do it the right way. Yes. We do want to have courage. We understand, but we got to do it, and not just to think about doing it. Lord. And we got to turn from wickedness, Lord, early on in the temptation, yes. Lord. So help us to recognize that, and even if we walked with you for a long time, the temptation is still there. And we see how few in the scriptures finish well. Really, nobody did except you, Lord Jesus. And we also have a lesson from that. Lord, I want to go back to your word once again today. And just that song that we've sung many times. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so would you just be with us as we close this little time now in singing this song, Thy word. So let's stand and sing this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And a light unto
draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we know that verse tells us that our closeness to you is not based on you, it's based on us. Mm-hmm. And are we comfortable? Is this as close as we want to be? Or are we willing to do what you would have us to do to be drawing closer to you? So may that be, Lord. Bless each one that's here. And may we just praise you and honor you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.